Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Church throughout the world is preparing for the canonization of John Henry Newman on Sunday. The best way to prepare is to celebrate his feast 4 days before. That almost never happens. In the Gospel, Jesus asked his disciples to teach them how to pray. And he taught them what's traditionally called the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, because of the first couple of words or because of the provenance of the prayer. It comes straight from the lips of the Lord. As we've pondered before, the fact that the version in Luke and Matthew are different shows that Jesus wasn't giving us a rigid set of magical words, but ultimately teaching us about how to relate to the Father, how to sequence our desires, and what is really important for us to desire. Ultimately, in teaching us this prayer, the Lord himself was helping us to enter into his thoughts, enter into his own desires, and ultimately, if we cooperate with God's grace, to help us to model our behavior on the behavior that flowed from his divine filiation. When we pray the Our Father, we seek to glorify God's name by our own life on earth, and especially our deeds of love. We begin to long for his kingdom. We begin to hunger, as Christ did, to do his will. For Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me." We begin to be grateful for God's providence every day, not just in meeting our material needs, but also giving us his Son on the altar. We begin to relate much more with greater openness to his mercy and are so transformed by it that we seek to become merciful like the Father is merciful. We begin to entrust ourselves to his protection as we're tempted and as we're conscious of how the devil prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. Cardinal Newman, when he taught about the Our Father, always taught us about how the Our Father brings us more and more close to Christ, closer to others, and closer to the communion of saints. Listen to his words written in one of his sermons. "Surely there are few of us, if we dwelt on the thought, but would feel it a privilege to use, as we do in the Our Father, the very petitions Christ spoke. He gave the prayer and used it. His apostles used it. All the saints ever since have used it. When we use it, we seem to join company with them. Who does not think himself brought nearer to any celebrated man in history by seeing the person's house, or his furniture, or his handwriting, or the very books that were his? Thus does the Lord's Prayer bring us near Christ and near to his disciples in every age. No wonder then that in past times good men thought this form of prayer so sacred that it seemed impossible for them to say it too often, as if some special grace went with the use of it, nor can we use it too often. It contains in itself a sort of plea for Christ listening to us. We cannot use it too often. And so we keep our thoughts fixed on its petitions and use our minds as well as our lips when we repeat it. The Lord's Prayer brings us closer to Christ, closer to others. We can never pray it enough. I want to ponder one aspect of that prayer, which is the prayer for mercy, since it's central to the readings today. The responsorial psalm teaches us that the Lord is gracious and merciful, abounding in kindness to all who call upon him. When we pray the Our Father, especially that petition, forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us, brings us closer to Christ, who is God the Father's mercy incarnate. And in Christ brings us closer to the Father. But as we see in the first reading, Jonah was fleeing from that reality of who God is. He was angry that God didn't carry out the destruction of Nineveh. He prayed, not thy will be done, not forgive me my sins as I am merciful to others. He prayed, I beseech you, Lord, is not this what I said when I was still in my own country? This is why I fled at first to Tarshish. Lie. Fled because he was too chicken. Not because he didn't want to see God's mercy on Nineveh. I knew you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loathe to punish. And then because the Lord is merciful, he asked strangely, and now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. The only reason why he was still alive was because of God's mercy after he had been thrown overboard. But that very mercy was leading him to cry for death. A little later, have you reason to be angry? And Jonah says, I have reason to be angry, angry enough to die. Sister Maria Christina, you had a lot of pressure on you today because probably Sister Magdalene and Sister Bridget remember 4 years ago, Sister Hope reading this reading, and I'll never forget her accent and the passion she put into it. Yes, angry enough to die. And she just pondered that, bringing us into the reading. He was angry enough to die because that type of sinful anger kills. And because the Father of life wants us to have life, he wants us to overcome that battery acid of the lack of forgiveness and all the destruction it leads to. Ultimately, God was sending Jonah to the Ninevites, not just to bring the Ninevites to conversion, but to bring Jonah to conversion. When we look at the Our Father, all of the petitions could be redimensioned in accordance with the mercy of the Lord, to hallow God's name, to really please him, is to bring prodigal sons and daughters back to his house, because heaven rejoices more for one repentant sinner. To seek the will of the Lord is to seek mercy, not sacrifice. His kingdom is a kingdom of reconciled sinners. And we proclaim the kingdom when we preach the conversion of sins. Repent and believe, as we ponder every Thursday, the third luminous mystery. God has a great desire for us to share his hunger. And he gives us each day our daily bread, so that, in fact, we are able to learn to hunger for what he hungered, especially all those who hunger for reconciliation. The greatest temptation we have, the most diabolical one of all, is to fail to forgive. And that's why Jesus, in St. Matthew's version of the Our Father, has us ponder immediately after his commentary on one petition alone. For unless you forgive others their sins, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you yours. The reason for that is not because the Heavenly Father doesn't want to forgive us ours, but because we would not be able to receive that mercy if our heart is hardened toward the forgiveness of others. In order for us to receive God's mercy, we have to be willing to share it. And if we're closed in sharing, we are absolutely closed in receiving. And so when we draw near to Christ through the prayer of the Our Father, we draw near to our need for this mercy just as much as Jonah did. And we begin to starve to bring that same gift to others. That's why we can never pray this prayer enough. Not 7 times, not even 77s. Today we come not to gather together under a gourd plant, but under the altar which mercy incarnate comes down. And in the heart of the Mass, we unite ourselves to Christ as we ask the Father for these petitions the Lord has placed not just on our lips, but within us. He draws near to us as we make his prayer our own. And he desires, just like happened in the life of soon-to-be Saint John Henry Newman, that we might begin to live these petitions and thereby hallow the Father's holy name.